Welcome back to another episode of Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charlie Childers, and I created this podcast because I know all too well the inner challenges that can come up for big dreamers and high achievers. Yes, being ambitious is amazing. It is fun being driven, having visions, imagining an amazing, extraordinary life for yourself, just seeing how much success you can create and impact you can make in this world is exhilarating. It is so fun. At the same time, along the way, we are bound to encounter some inner struggles, inner challenges, and obstacles that really test our confidence, who we are, test our identity, and believing in ourselves, whether or not we can actually do this. And so on this podcast, we not only normalize your big dreams and the things that you want in life to help you believe that it is possible and to help you see that other people are doing amazing things and you can too, but we also normalize the inner struggles that come up for us so that you know you're not alone. And don't be ashamed if you aren't feeling as good about yourself as you want to, or you're not believing in yourself as much as you want to, or you spend a good bit of the day feeling resistance and in a funk and you're not sure what decisions to make or which direction to go in. Don't feel ashamed. You are not wrong for that. It is part of being a big dreamer and high achiever. And one of the challenges, which we're actually going to get into today, is this idea that as big dreamers and high achievers, a lot of times we are, quote unquote, the black sheep of our family, so to speak. We are the ones in this world where we're sticking out like a unicorn with our audacious goals and these things that have never been done before, these creations that we want to create that challenge people and they trigger people who aren't used to that capacity and doing that caliber of things in this world. And so our environment doesn't necessarily mimic or reflect or support us to keep going, to dream bigger, to reach for more, to really go all in on what we feel called to, right? And so maybe this looked like for you, maybe growing up when you were younger, you didn't have anyone around you telling you that you can do it, that you can go beyond and do more than any other family member, or that you can be more than your parents, you know, what they did. Or maybe your environment right now is you are in a sea of, let's say, red apples, and you're feeling like, I don't know why I just said a sea of red apples, because that totally doesn't make sense. But just hang with me. You're in a sea of red apples and you're feeling like the only green apple around, that there is literally nobody else around you who is doing what you're doing, who wants to do the things that you do. And so that's what this conversation is about today. And I'm so, so excited for you to listen to it, because my friend Euros, he is from Slovenia, which is so cool, by the way, that no matter where we are in the world, we as big dreamers, high achievers, the ambitious ones, we are so connected and we have these innate qualities within us that unites us. And so Euros shares his story of how he was raised and how he didn't have necessarily a role model for, you know, stepping outside of what anybody else has known or actually what was legal in his country. And so if you can't tell, this conversation is just so inspiring. And my hope that by you listening to it, you are going to walk away knowing that you're not alone, that yes, maybe in the physical sense, your environment isn't necessarily in support of seeing how big and bold and brave you can be, but there are people in this world. And this podcast is an example of an environment that you can surround yourself with so that you are encouraged to keep going and keep moving forward. Because guess what? You get to do this the way that you want to do it. No matter what your childhood environment looked like, no matter who was in your corner right now, no matter who is surrounding you and what they're saying to you, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter the results that you're seeing, the clients that are coming in, the customers that are coming in, the opportunities that are coming your way, no matter how much money you're making, no matter how old you are, no matter what, you get to do this how you want to do it. You get to do this the way that you want to do it, in a way that serves you up, lights you up, is the fullest potential of who you are, and amounts to the fullest of that vision that is on your heart. That's how you get to do it. In this conversation, we're also going to talk about becoming the role model that you needed when you were younger. We'll talk about inner resiliency and honing in on your natural qualities as a big dreamer. And then finally, we talk about surrounding yourself with like-minded people. And oh, it is so good. It is so good. So put in your AirPods, you know, just whether you're cleaning, whether you're driving, whether you're at work right now, put in your AirPods and tune in, because I promise you, you are going to leave feeling so, so good and so uplifted and so empowered. But before we dive in, I want to say that if you right now know that you are looking for an environment on a weekly and daily basis to be that an environment that encourages you to keep going, that helps you walk through your challenges and obstacles so that you can be in alignment with the truth of who you are and cultivate true lasting confidence in yourself, independent of the environment that's around you. If you know that you want to be surrounded by other like-minded big dreamers and high achievers so that you can celebrate with each other as well as talk to each other about the challenges of not being able to find clients or not being able to finish the book because you're in a writer's block, if you just want that type of environment, then my coaching program, Anchor, is for you. I'm going to include the link in the episode description. I definitely encourage you to check it out because I know it is the place for you to be. Euros in my best American accent of your name. Thank you so much for being on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I'm truly a fan of yours and just so honored to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you, Charlie, for having me. The honor is all mine. It's great talking to you, and I'm looking forward to this podcast that we're going to have, amazing chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things in particular that I love about your story is that, and we can definitely get into this, but growing up and even now, your environment around you doesn't exactly mimic or isn't exactly in support of your dreams and what you're doing as far as your thinking, your doing, the things you're trying to create and all you're trying to be in this world. There hasn't been a particular model, so to speak, or it hasn't reinforced. I guess that's the word that I've been looking for. It hasn't really reinforced what you're doing. So if you will, just tell us a little bit about what it has been like growing up in your country and what it's like now.
Yeah, culture of entrepreneurship is completely different, like in US and Europe, and especially in Slovenia. That was already 30 years ago, part of the Eastern Bloc. So we were part of the communist regime where it wasn't normal or even allowed to have a company or any entrepreneurial endeavor in that matter. You were allowed to have a trade, being like a carpenter, plumber, whatever in that area, but being an entrepreneur as such as we know it today wasn't possible back then. Right after the Yugoslavia split over into a few different countries, I had a great role model when my father opened his first accounting practice right away. And this is kind of the model that I got. And I also try to keep that in mind every single day, like lead by example. So whatever you're trying to teach others, you have to do it yourself too. So this is the teaching moment or role model that I had, and I took it over from there. But generally, this is not generally accepted mindset, let's say so. Like I've seen in US, in the States, more people are really driven to achieve that big, hairy, audacious goals, having big dreams. It seems more normal. While here, you're considered weird. Of course, every boy has those posters on the walls of Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Porsches, and so on. But it's kind of normal to ditch that with that teenage years. But not for me. I like those cars and I want to have them. So the only way to pursue my dreams is to do something by myself. And having a role model like this, I never thought or I never strived to be employed at any point in my life. I never searched for a job, never wanted a job, and never imagined myself having a job as it's normal to have it. So a little more than in US, but I think in US it's no different. It's normal. You go to school, then you find a job, and you work your ass off until you die. That's it. That's the life model that is projected on the whole society. And there is also a great book I actually read not so long ago, and I recommend everyone, is Outwitting the Devil. Napoleon Hill is one of the greatest book I read. Like, really clarifies your mind. And just about the mentality, the mindset. And therefore, I always strived to build my own business. And probably you're trying to reach about my endeavor at 5 years old. So it was right about the time my father was starting his business. I was about five, six, seven, I'm not sure anymore. It's a long time ago. When one hot summer afternoon, I was a little bit bored in the backyard, and I decided to earn my own ice cream. So I had to do something. Of course, with 5 years old, I had no money on me. I had to do something. And as every other kid, I got that little plastic shovel, I got a bucket, and I got a really nice red trolley with yellow wheels. And I decided to dig a hole in the backyard to get some dirt. I put it to a sifter, pack it into a plastic bag, and like this was like 1 pound bags, not more. But I decided to brand my so-called product as Dirt for Plants. Well, in that case, you can imagine hot summer afternoon, dirt was pretty dry, so there was actually no use of it. But nevertheless, I packed everything on my trolley and went door to door, knocking, selling my product. And in a couple of hours, I sold it all. Probably there was my lucky or unfair advantage, let's say. That I was a kid, either the people bought it from me or they just get me money to get rid of me. So either one or another, I got paid. So in a couple of hours, I got enough money to get myself an ice cream and a little extra. So that was a win for me.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And thank you for sharing that story with everybody. And what I really love, the nuggets I love pulling out of your story, is that you and I live across the world from each other. Yet our stories, and I know that a lot of big dreamers and high achievers can relate to this, and the fact that we have this natural drive within us to, first of all, to dream, to want more, to go beyond the status quo of what is around us, right? And then a lot of times we do not have, whether it be the culture, the society, our parents, our friends, just the people around us do not, they're not in alignment with their thinking. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Maybe it's not allowed in some countries. And even though we're across the world, we're all very much connected and that we can relate to each other. So thank you so much in going into that and allowing us to depict your story from that angle. It's just really, really beautiful. And so if you will, first of all, what is your dream? Like what is your passion? What are you here for?
Well, there are two passions actually. One is materialistic, that we usually all start from one materialistic goals. We either people want to have nice life, either like me are so into cars, that's just expensive hobby to have, and you have to finance it somehow. And there is another passion that you find it out or find out about it along the way. You're not aware right away. You kind of peel it out from what you're doing, where the path is taking you. And therefore, I found for myself the second one is passion to help others. Either way, in younger years, I was karate instructor, snowboard instructor. I was helping people to get their cars clean and tidy. And from there on, developed even my first business, my first real company at about 20 years old with two more friends. We established Car Care Logistics Company that we basically took care of people's cars, basically of people who had money and had better things to do than cleaning, maintaining the cars, changing tires, and so on. So we did just that for them. I found a couple of vendors, suppliers for every single brand of the car. There was a shop or a tire shop or oh, what is it called? I'm sorry,
You're
towards
good.
the cars. Yeah, I just lost the
Believe me, it
word
happens to
slipped on
me
me.
all the
A car
time.
wash.
Car wash.
Yeah, car wash. That was silly. Okay. Yeah, or a car wash. So I got them all lined up. So whatever one needed, I got it. So I picked up the car at home, at the office, at the golf course. I don't care where. You do what you want. I'll take a car, bring it back to you. Nice, clean, in one piece, if prior wasn't it wasn't the case. But as you said, we were always thinking bigger, dreaming bigger, and picking cars from people, it wasn't enough for me. I strived for a bigger picture. So I knew I need to get in front of companies who had bigger car fleets. So I started to attend events where CEOs and people like this were speaking or attending, so I can get in front of people. I knew at that point who belongs to whichever company, and therefore I was able to address the right person, introduce myself, what am I doing, and stopped right there, asked for a meeting. That's it. I didn't sell the event, just asked for a meeting later on next week to get to know each other. How can I help them? And that meant that if they had a fleet of cars, I can take care of those. And with that in mind, I was able to gain like one big tobacco company for the region. Toyota dealership for the region. So that way I became a Lexus outsource company for ride that service. Your car, our worry. This was basically our motto. And it started to pick up until 2008. The whole world collapsed in a recession, and therefore the company went south pretty fast. I forgot to mention that all this time, from my 15-year-old, I was actively involved in family company, in accounting business. So I learned everything about the background of the business, all the finance, all the reports, costs, profits, income, everything. So that was my basic knowledge that I developed along the way. And when the company with Car Care Logistics went south, I was stuck back at the family company, doing my regular job. And this is the time when we talked before, I said I got it too easy. Because if your back is against the wall, when your company collapses, you need to do something, right? You have to fight, you have to move forward. I had a job waiting for me right there. So company went south. Okay, no problem. I was working my accounting job further on as it was. So no real pain at that very moment. But accounting was hit from 2008 recession a little bit later on, because we didn't suffer right away. Because accounting as an industry is like, that's a dinosaur. It was here forever, and probably it will be here forever. Just the principles are changing a little bit. But we had a customer who struggled through that recession. They went bankrupt, downsized, sold out, whatever it was. And therefore, at around 3 years later, accounting practice got hit with the whole thing. And this is the point when it becomes painful for me personally. Of course, family business, we had to bootstrap. I was right about, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. And it meant I was at that age when everybody was out partying, enjoying their life, I had no money. So, but it took a while, because I moved back in with my parents at the time, and it was cozy. I had roof over my head, I got food on my table. So, and the rest of the day I spent in the gym. So besides partying and going out with friends too much or traveling around, there was no significant pain for me. So it took me a while before it really stunk. And at that point, I knew I have to do something. I was always expected to succeed my father. And I was waiting for that. And I was working every day in the business. Clients got to know me. But it was all too easy, too comfortable. And therefore, when the pain was significant enough, I had to do something. So I did my tax advisor's license, and opened my solo practice as a tax advisor with zero clients that was in 2016. So quite a few years in between, right? So it took me a while. So 2016, I started my own tax practice, zero clients, just with the knowledge I gained over the years in my accounting practice. And through the licensing. Okay, people need to know about me. I send a DM to whole base on my Facebook and email, and everybody knew instantly, what am I doing? I'm a tax advisor now. If I can help you, please shoot me a DM. I'll be happy to work with you. And a few hours passed, I got a client. Yeah, there was a colleague that we knew for a while, but didn't get together for a long time prior to that. They wanted to know more about taxes. So we did more as a course. We did more a course than any actual advising at the moment. But later on, it grew into tax advising practice because I knew I have to get in front of people. And please mind, naturally, I'm a huge introvert. So I always struggled to talk to people who I don't know, even if my friends that I hung out every day were with people that I wasn't really familiar, I rather stayed home. So I knew I have to go in front of people if I want to grow my business. Googled business breakfasts, business meetings, I don't know what else, whatever. And I got across the BNI, that is American franchise. That is just that, business breakfast networking. Okay. What do I have to lose? Nothing. I got a suit, of course. I'm still at the point where I had no money, no cash, really scraps. So being financial advisor or tax advisor in my 20s, I had to get a suit for as cheap as possible. Okay, bought a suit for about 25 euros, and it was such an extravagant suit that no one wanted. It was blue with white dots all over, so really flashy. But hell, no one wanted it. I got it. I was with that. I was a walking billboard. Got a nice tie with that. Altogether for about, I don't know, 50 euros, something like that. So whoever said you can't get, you can look appropriate for cheap, it's you're wrong. If you want to look appropriate, there's really small budget that you need. Nice suit, nice tie, and you can look like $1 million for pennies. And what's even more important, I started to attend those business breakfasts, network meetings, and so on. And from there on, of course, I became a member, and I attended every single conference, every single education moment that they have in the networking group, and they all began to know me. Because I was the best dressed guy in the whole BNI section for pennies. So I was like a walking billboard. Everybody knew me because of that. So that worked great for me. Word got out. I networked like an extrovert that I never was. Therefore, my personal practice, my solo tax practice, began to pick up. While also we were picking up the accounting practice, so everything started to turn for the better over a few years, about 3-4 years. And then one thing led to another. Through the networking, I got connected with a company that was producing carbon fiber parts for various racing departments. I got an investment opportunity for that, okay. And I did my due diligence. Everything was fine. Business was legit. But customers was legit. Although it sounds very, very nice, too good to be true. Everything looked good. After every inspect that I did, all was okay. I had a gut feeling that something is not right there. But on the paper, everything seemed good. And that's the problem, that logically, rationally, everything was fine. And I did it. I invested. I became a partner in that group and got screwed a few months later. It wasn't even a year after I got screwed. So this is the part of gut feeling. When you have the gut feeling, you just go with it. You just ignore your head. If you think, doesn't matter what you like, doesn't matter if it looks good, if it sounds good, if all the numbers are okay, you just walk the other way. That's the biggest lesson. If your gut feeling tells you, just walk away, you do just that. So, but I always like to say, and it's not my quote, it's at my last quote, everything happens for you, not to you. Even that short year with a business helped me grow my practice and my personal income to that level that I was able to afford a house. Of course, through mortgage, but nevertheless, I was able to afford a house. And this thing led me to another connection, to another business venture with a mortgage broker that did it for me. And we were meeting for myself a couple of times over drinks, we chatted. And therefore, we discussed, okay, I have tax practice, accounting practice, a lot of knowledge within numbers field, within business finances, within business planning. So we can do it together, expand the practice to business department, to do business planning for businesses, to do financing for businesses, to do tenders where businesses can apply for either cheap loans or actually non-refundable funds from the EU and so on. So as I told you, one thing leads to another. Good or bad, everything happens for you. And this is the practice I'm still involved until this day. It's great. So today I'm running accounting and tax practice by myself, my sole practice, still having my father involved, employed my spouse in there. So we're keeping it within the family. And I have another business venture where we do financing for businesses, either refundable or non-refundable. But all this made me gather new skills. I upgraded every single time with new venture, I upgraded my skills. So from there on, I started to do virtual CFO practice. So I see I can help more people with handling their finances. This is one thing I noticed within COVID, with 2020, when COVID struck. Before COVID, when everything was fine, the finances or whatever was happening in business didn't really matter because you didn't notice the small mistakes that you're doing. Money was flowing in, mistakes were unnoticeable. You could go, it didn't hit you that hard. So with COVID, when the consumers dropped the orders or the prices were dropping and so on, the issues within the businesses that were doing fine started to arise. Like too many loans within the company, too big production costs when production was running too low on too higher costs. And at that point, you really could see where the business is bleeding money. So I had a couple of chances to help different businesses within patching the bleeding parts of their business. Either would be too many loans or picking a loan and spending it all together on the supply. So I had one business, for instance, that took a loan, a big loan, and put it all into inventory. But with COVID 2021, there was a huge supply chain issue, if you remember that correctly. And the inventory that the guy ordered from China was meant for winter, ordered in October, but didn't arrive until late March or April, if I remember correctly. But you have to know, they scraped everything for that inventory. So there was no money for running costs, for salaries, taxes, for paying that loan back next month for the first installment and so on. And all this led me to the point I told you before. My passion is to help people. And in my past 20 years in accounting, tax practice, and this, I learned that people or business owners really don't understand the back end of their business. Whether they're a carpenter, plumber, sales, whatever. Okay, sales probably they're the closest because they're doing with income directly. But they don't. People don't know the back end of their business. They're masters of their craft. They're great at what they do, but they don't know how to run the business and the numbers behind it. They don't know about the cost, about the cash flow. And I felt, it was about 2 years ago, that this is my calling, that this is where I really can help people build their businesses, especially with the times that are coming. Unstable times, it's super crucial to have their costs, income, and cash flow in order to grow your business safely. Because you really have to know what's coming. And with proper cash flow on hand, you can see the issue that will arise about 3-4 months from now. And you can act on it before it even comes. So I call it like a little crystal ball. It's a little crystal ball when you can see in the future what's going to happen if the cash flow is proceeding as it is at the moment. So you can tweak it. You see either income is dropping, either costs are rising. You know what to do this very moment to avoid the issue that might come later on. In the summer, after the summer, or whatever. And with that in mind, I was starting to do cash flow coaching. And to reach even more people, I wrote a book about everything that I learned through my mistakes and through mistakes of other people that I helped through accounting, tax practice, and cash flow business.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. And just as you're talking, when you're 5 years old, when you're in the car detailing kind of car wash business, you know, all of your story, it's really one of inner resiliency. And I know that for big dreamers and high achievers, that could be something that is really hard to cultivate. And I also know that it happens over time. It can happen over time. And so your story so beautifully goes into that, that yes, you were groomed to take over the accounting business, and helping people with their finances is definitely a passion of yours. It just looks different than your dad's, which is amazing. Our dreams are carbon copies of each other. And then also, you also have a passion for cars. And so, hey, we're not all Jay Leno, right? When it comes to how many cars we have. And so, yeah, just thank you so much for going into all of that. And so how do you think when it comes to inner resiliency, you have this natural drive for another level, for more, to just keep going. How did you maintain that despite the culture, despite being groomed, despite some people thinking that you had it too easy, despite 2008, despite all of these things? Where do you think that came from?
Oh, it's difficult to say where did it came from, but one thing that I learned for sure is, okay, you have to put that back against the wall mentality into your mind. So doesn't matter how good it's going or bad, you're always back against the wall. So you have to always move forward. You don't get stuck in the comfort zone. And the other thing is, get around like-minded people. We all know the saying that you are average of five people that you hang on. And if those five people are all, let's say, fat, unhealthy, you're gonna be the fifth or sixth. If they're all poor, no good ideas, just want to hang out, go do the job 9 to 5 and then hang out until the evening and so on, watch reality TVs, you're gonna be the sixth. But if you want to be a winner, if you want to move forward, you have a big dreams, you have to go around like-minded people. If you hang around rich people, millionaires, or at least driven people, you are going to be the sixth. And this can be a challenging step for everyone who is stuck in either zone. Usually that's either fitness or money related, that doesn't matter because you're stepping away from the crowd. If you have the group of friends that either you used to hang out, drink beers, eating junk food, and not doing any sports, and you want to take care of yourself, all of a sudden you're going to be alone. You're going to move away from your friends and do something, you're going to isolate yourself. Same goes with your business. If people are not accustomed to those big dreams, you're gonna hear so many times, I wanna have, if you say, I wanna have a Lamborghini and so on, yeah, keep dreaming. Stop it. Go do your work, go find a job, and that's it. When you're starting a business and it's struggling, and you know that. First years are horrible. And you have to grind through it. And you have to have a clear vision where you're gonna be in year two or three or five. You have to repeat it. You have to sell yourself on it every single day, many times if needed. But you have to see it as that you're already there. And beside that, find a group of people that is going to support you. Either that be live in person to meet with them once a week, once a month for a coffee and brainstorm, or online, mastermind group, whatever, Facebook group, wherever you can share your thoughts, share your achievements, your wins, because it's super important. Doesn't matter how small the win is for you. To share it and to get that encouragement from others. Because one thing that I learned, you probably noticed that too. Having big dreams and goals and vision, no one's gonna believe in you until you actually do something. Your loved ones, your family, your spouse are just the ones who have the most patience with you. Not even they believe in you until you show what you want to do, what you're doing. And when you show results, this is the moment when they start believing you. Until that moment, they're just the most patient one.
That's so good, Yuris. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you mentioned that because something as big dreamers who are here to shake up this world and to have things in this world that not everybody has and do things and make the kind of impact that not your average person does, one misstep I think is common for a lot of us is that we discount just how much power there is in normalizing what we're trying to do. like you said, we're surrounded by, you know, the five people we hang around, and no, that's not exactly five, right? But it's all about normalizing that in our system and integrating it in our nervous system so that if we are tapping into $20,000 a month, if we're tapping into reaching 1 million people, if we're tapping into buying a Lamborghini, whatever it may be, that has to become normal for us. And it makes it, at that point, it becomes so much easier for us to realize and to recognize and to accept that it's possible. And so that's one of the reasons why I love hearing your story, because just by tuning in and listening to Yuris's story, he did it. He did it. If he did it, I can do it. I can keep going. And then to your point on our friends, our family, they're going to believe it when they see it type of thing. Well, we need to believe it long before we see it. And so how do we believe it before we see it? And this right here, anchoring into these types of conversations, you know, building that belief, cultivating that belief in ourselves. This is such a powerful and potent conversation for that exact thing, because not only are we going to have our insides telling us that we maybe can't do it, but externally, the people around us, your culture is going to say, you can't do it. It's not possible. You're not allowed to do it. Who do you think you are? So good. So good.
Right there. And one thing, you should have heard that. Fake it till you make it. And people always got this wrong. Because it doesn't mean that you pretend that you're successful. It doesn't mean that you pretend that you're rich, which many people like to do with wearing all kinds of brands and so on. It's about your mind. If you're unhealthy, if you're fat, you have to pretend, you have to do everything that a fit, healthy person would do. You eat healthy, you exercise, you read books. Smart people read books. You want to be smart, you read books. You do as the people who you want to become do. If you want to be rich, you don't act rich. You don't trying to fool everyone around you that you're rich because you're not, and everyone knows it. But you have to do the things that rich people are doing. So you have to start a business, you have to brainstorm ideas, you have to get that resilience within you and the work ethic. You're gonna work from early mornings to the late nights. And this is what you do when you do fake it till you make it. You just act as if, you do as if. And eventually you become whatever you are. When we go to sleep, what do? We pretend to be asleep. You lay down, you close your eyes, and you pretend to be asleep until you fall asleep. You don't just fall asleep.
That's true. That's such a good point. And I actually, it's funny because right before we press record, I did an Instagram story about this, of how every single moment is an opportunity for us to reaffirm who we are, the truth of who we are, who we want to be, and where we're going. So with every decision we make, every action we take, every word that we speak, not only to others, but to ourselves, may they reflect the direction that we're going in rather than where we've been in the past. The person we don't want to be, the people who try to say we are, but we know intuitively that we are not. And so this is so good. This is so divine that you literally were just mentioning that.
Exactly, right there.
So good. So good. So what, as we start wrapping up, what advice would you have for someone who is, maybe they are starting out as an entrepreneur. Maybe they're just trying. They're just, you know, wanting to be there, wanting to, they're just doing the monotony of pursuing their dreams and going after their goal. When it comes to inner resilience and just keeping going and looking within, what advice would you give to somebody?
There will be two pieces of advice, actually. One for sure is to be persistent and patient, aggressively patient. Because they will have to work for the longest time without seeing any, and depends on the business or whatever they're doing. Result, they might work for 1, 2, 3 years without seeing any result. And all of a sudden, like a hockey stick, their business is going to explode. The results are going to come. But you have to work every day, no matter of results. There's no results, doesn't matter. You go in, you work on, you don't stop. And the other advice for sure is find a group of people who will support you. Like group of like-minded people with whom you can share your ideas, with whom you can share your wins or even your struggles. Because that group of people will understand your struggles.
So good.
And you won't feel so alone.
That's great advice dream. Because building your dreams can be a lonely process, can't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They're saying it's lonely at the top, but it's not. It's the middle part. When you detach for one crowd, trying to get better in any shape or form, and before you find another crowd where you can share your interest with again. This is the part that's lonely, not the top. And we're all far from the top.
Oh my goodness. This has been such an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for being here, Euros. I'll definitely put your link to your book in the episode description.
Yeah.
Also the other book that you've read recently that really was super powerful and transformative for you. I would love to include that in the episode description as
well.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, and just thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story and helping us see that it's not all different, right? That we truly are connected, you know, no matter what part of the world we live in. It's more about our hearts that aligns us. And as big dreamers, high achievers, who are on a mission to just rock this world, we have this natural drive within us to reach for more, to be more, have more, do more. You are such a beautiful example of that. And so thank you for, being an inspiration for us.
Thank you, Charlie, so much. It was my pleasure, my honor. And really, thank you for having me.
And thank you for tuning into this episode today, and not just tuning into this episode, but really taking the lead here and curating your environment in a way where it is in support of where you're going. It does support the audacious goals and the things that you have on your heart. Curating your environment is one of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself. Because like the infamous quote says, that we are like the five type of people that we surround ourselves with. And no, that's not an exact number. However, it's true. If you're surrounded by mediocre thinking, then your mind is naturally going to adopt the mediocrity that you're around. If you surround yourself with next level and outside of the box and going after the seemingly impossible, then your mind is going to adopt and calibrate to that. Yes, it can take some training and discipline to get there, and that's why I'm here. But thank you for being here. I really acknowledge you where you are, and I just want to pour into you a little bit and tell you to keep going. Keep going. Stay the course. Stay the track. And I don't necessarily mean in the physical sense of pursuing your dream. I'm more so talking about the inner journey within yourself, because I know you want to feel better. I know that you want to feel more confident. I know you are the type of person that really embraces this whole idea around being the best version of yourself and seeing just how deep and expansive you can go in that area. I know that the thought of amounting to your fullest potential absolutely excites you. I know that about you. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. I know you got so much value out of it, and I cannot wait to hear from you. I can't wait to read your DMs. I can't wait to be tagged in your post as you're sharing this episode with your friends. And I'll see you next time.